This episode of Script to Screen is powered by Speedy Comics.
You can follow them on Instagram on Speedy Comics ME and on their website, speedycomicsme.com.
Hi guys, I'm Ruth Jung.
Hello, my name is Joseph David Jones.
Hey, this is Kevin Sussman.
Hey, this is Mina Massoud.
I'm John Reese Davis, and you're listening to Script to Screen.
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 Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Script to Screen. Boy, do we got a fun episode for you guys today. No, we're not going to be talking about the latest news happenings in the film and television industry, because honestly, we'd rather handle those, especially when there's so much of it that doesn't necessarily deserve a full episode. We're going to be handling those on our Instagram feed. So as a start, I'm going to tell you that if you're not following Script to Screen on Instagram, you better do so, because a whole lot of new content is going to be populating that profile. Speaking of the stuff that's populating the profile, is brand new content focusing on, like I said, headline news. We're calling those the takes. So you'll hear my side of it, you'll hear Hod's side of it, as you often do on the show, but in a more interactive, quicker way, like a 1 minute kind of perspective. So it's pretty quick and it's pretty engaging. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that. On today's episode, Hod and I are going to be celebrating our love and affection and obsession with a classic American sitcom that lasted 10 years, that I don't know, attracted so many people, got so many people obsessed with it, addicted to it. It became part of popular culture like no other. And that show would have to be Friends. And I can't talk about Friends without my friend and your friend, the solo to my Chewbacca, the one and only Hod Solo.
Hello, my friend. No one told you life was gonna be this away.
Wow, you really shot that with a shotgun, didn't you?
It sounds like Christopher Walken trying to sing. It's like a bad Chris Walken impression, though.
Oh my gosh! No! What is happening right now? What is happening right now? Oh man. It's going crazy. So how you been, buddy?
Been pretty good. Been actually very good. You know, busy. I'm excited. We're opening the bar in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm on full throttle for that.
16 millimeters, the reboot.
Yeah, with some food, with some coffee, with some desserts. We're going to open during the day.
That's amazing. I didn't get the memo for that. I feel hurt. I feel hurt.
You got the scoop live.
You heard it exclusively on Script to Screen. 16 millimeters is going to be opening with food and coffee and during the day. Oh my Lord, it is going to become the central perk of Lebanon, let me tell you.
We want place for your friends to gather and enjoy themselves.
Exactly. So, much like that purple apartment.
That purple apartment or that coffee shop with that blonde, weird guy.
Yes.
He's in love with Rachel.
Exactly.
Was a person who knew how to make a coffee machine work. And that's how he got his part on Friends, by the way.
That is awesome. So let's not waste too much time here. The screeners have been listening to us babble on for a bit. Let's start with answering this first question. When did you and I, or when did we get on the Friends wagon? Because I know from my side of the story, I didn't necessarily watch Friends until much, much later. I think it was almost off the air by the time I started watching it. How about you?
I don't remember the date, but I do remember it. I do remember watching it in Lebanon. It was played on a station called MTV, not the music one. And they used to put the show every Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever. And I remember waiting for it every week. back then we didn't really have the luxury of DVDs and downloading and Netflix and whatnot and all those things. And I used to, so you're probably going to talk about, I don't know, like 99, 2000, something like that.
I feel like I was much younger when it was on, like, because it premiered in like what, 95, right?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Yeah. So I was a kid. So I don't think Friends would have been appropriate for me back then. But once I grew older, I think once the show was officially off the air, I started buying the DVD box sets from a place called Movie Stop in the US. Right. And I started binging it essentially that way from the DVDs, which is why now the DVDs barely work because they've been worn out. Let me tell you.
I can get why.
Yeah.
Like watching and rewatching and watching and overwatching those episodes.
Exactly. Which is why now I have a digital version of those episodes on my hard drive. But yeah, so I didn't get on the bandwagon of Friends until much later. I don't, you know, like, and I think a lot of our generation is pretty much the same, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, unless you were living in the US, so.
Well, not when it was first on television, because I didn't leave to the US until
later.
Until later, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess if you were living in the US, probably it had, you know, like a bigger followership, but you know, with time. And with, you know, the seasons getting changing and getting more popular and people watching it more, it got a bigger audience. And at the end of the day, who doesn't want to watch the story of six friends living in a city and living and dealing with problems that, you know, we deal with every day and things we can relate to easily and putting that fun twist on them. And also having these, you know, interesting characters that developed throughout 10 seasons. They didn't stay the same. They didn't stay the same from season one to season 10. Some more than others evolved. Some became phenomenal superstars.
Yeah.
And some of them were hurt by Friends. I mean, their career never really got to take off after Friends. And some, you know, some actually were able to get out of the Friends bubble and do other things.
Exactly. What's interesting to me is that the loyalty of the Friends fan base to the show, because I do recall a couple of years ago, you know, and as much as I want to try to keep politics out of this conversation, I do recall for a while, a couple of years ago, some people tried to tear Friends down, calling it transphobic, you know, calling it fat shaming, and a slew of other things that if you actually watched Friends, you would know that it really wasn't necessarily any of that. You know, specifically when it comes to like the transphobic thing. On the contrary, I remember the episode with Chandler and his father, and I've seen it very recently as well. I thought that was handled very appropriately. I thought it was handled very well. If anybody recalls, there was also a lesbian wedding on the show. So that also, you know, as far as the homophobia goes, that doesn't work. That claim doesn't work. It has no proof whatsoever. The only one that gets a little, I mean, maybe a little dicey is possibly the fat shaming, but I never saw it as a heart, like nothing about it seemed harmful, at least not from my end. But my spectrum of humor and political correctness doesn't necessarily match up. So I don't believe in political correctness when it comes to comedy. I think everybody, it's fair game on everybody when it comes to comedy. So that's it on my end, from my perspective. What do you think about all that stuff?
I agree with most of what you say. And look, again, comedy is not what it was 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, you could say things. And 10 years before that, you could say things. I mean, comedy has changed and evolved, and you can't always, you know, pinpoint those things. If you look at movies like, I don't know, American Pie or the 40-Year-Old Virgin, there are a lot of things that would not pass today, but back then it was okay. And it doesn't make them bad. It just makes them a representation of that time.
Yeah.
And at the same time, for me, those are not offensive thing as a, you know, fatter kind of child, because I was chubby as a kid. I never got bothered by the episodes where Monica was, you know, wearing the fat suit and all the fat jokes, and how Chandler was, you know, uncomfortable around her being fat. And then, you know, she found her cute the next year at Thanksgiving. And I think people should focus on other things than bashing these shows or these movies.
Yeah,
for me, it's a show that's, you know, helped a lot of people, that comforts a lot of people, that makes you feel good. I know a lot of people who have it on the background when they're working.
Yeah,
I know
a lot
of people who, while flipping channels, if Friends is on, they'll stop and they'll watch. It has this universality of things where, you know, we relate to all the characters. We're all a little bit of, you know, a bit of Ross. We're all a bit of Monica, Chandler, Phoebe, and company. We all have a bit of them, and maybe some more than others.
Agreed.
And it was comforting. It was just this well-written show with very funny sequences. And I think that's why it's so successful. And that's why it has such a popular range. And that's why it still works today. I mean, it's been off air for what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
And it's still, people still love it. People still watch it.
And you do recall the craziness that occurred when Netflix basically announced that Friends was no longer going to be available on Netflix because of, you know, obviously we didn't know that then, but now HBO Max owns the rights to the streaming, or the streaming rights for Friends.
Yeah. The good thing is that in the Middle East, you still have Friends on Netflix, so I still get to watch that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I guess international streaming, the international streaming rights still belong to Netflix. That's actually kind of cool.
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Probably, yeah. I was watching an episode last night, so.
Oh, well, awesome. Awesome. All right, so I have a question. The second question is, why do we love this show? I think we basically said it. Yeah. I would concur. I would agree with what you were saying about its accessibility. I think accessibility makes this show that much easier to love. The connection to these characters. For me, I think it's. I love the show because of, again, I think I personally love the show because of the characters, because of these very, although sometimes hyper-realistic, they are sometimes very real, very genuine characters. And I think the ability to be around people who love you for who you are, who might pick on you, who might mock you, who might tease you a little bit, but deep down you know that these people are your family, the family that you chose. I think that for me is by far the reason why I love this show. And it's because it shows a core group of friends who will be there, again, who will be there for each other through thick and thin, through good, through bad, through heartaches, through celebrations. I mean, it, and this is why the show is, I think, as successful as it is.
I'm going to totally agree with you. Again, and the writing, I think, is something that made the show
absolutely
what it is.
Yeah,
it had very witty humor. They had very good one-liners, and they had good storylines. Now, I do know that sometimes there are things that I don't know how to call it, but in future seasons that negated things that happened in previous seasons, like Chandler not being able to cry, but then there's an episode before that where he was crying. So there is a continuity issue if you want to microanalyze Friends, but in the bigger picture, I think it was well written, episode per episode. The characters grew. The characters, you learned to love the characters more and more. You were always worried about what's going to happen to this person or that person. And they also had interesting supporting characters and guest stars. And everyone wanted to be on Friends. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Robin Williams was on Friends. Yeah, you know,
like Crystal were on Friends. mean, Julia
one of the
Roberts
best, one of the best openers I have ever seen. Honestly,
yeah,
like Robin Williams and Billy Crystal opener was
the gynecologist
insanely hilarious.
It's crazy. I don't know. It's a show which works, and it doesn't work without these actors. Because the casting, like, they say basically that what's her name? Rachel, Jennifer Aniston was reading for the part of Monica.
Yeah,
initially, and Monica was reading for the part of Courtney Cox was reading for the part of Monica, and then somehow it managed to switch. And the beauty of it is how these six people actually stuck it out together as real friends in real life. And,
oh, absolutely. You know,
they had their demands, and they didn't let one person sink or one person get paid more than the other. No, they all demanded, you know, that $1 million per episode towards the end, and they all got it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is exactly why every time one of them posts something on social media with all of them together, the whole world goes freaking crazy. Yeah. So let's start talking about some of our favorite moments. We mentioned, I mentioned that opener with Robin Williams and Billy Crystal. But for me, I think, like, if I wanted to say, if I wanted to kind of pick one moment that I think is one of my favorite moments of the show, as cheesy as it is, I think it's I would more than likely say Chandler and Monica's proposal.
Oh my God.
Chandler, in all my life, I never thought I would be so lucky. Yes, to fall in love with my best. There's a reason why girls don't do this.
Okay. I'll do it.
That for me, that episode, the way it's structured, the way it ends, the way it builds to that moment, it's a beautiful moment. It's so genuine, it's so real. And I think the whole entire globe watching that moment, I would dare say, went a little crazier than Rachel and Ross at this point, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It was a very emotional episode, and it did true to the characters, you know, like Monica being Monica, Chandler being Chandler. And it also showed like an evolution within their themselves.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler,
yeah,
you know, making the bigger step to commit, Mr. Commitmophobe.
Yep.
And I know it works. It I think for me, I prefer the love story of Chandler and Monica over Rachel and Ross.
Oh, by far, 100%.
Even though a lot of people love Yanné, I don't know why I went all Lebanese.
Yeah, that's Yanné. Fine. Yanné, that's yeah. Cool.
Yanné. So basically, yeah. But for my favorite sequence, if you want, it's a much more ditzy sequence. It's a less meaningful sequence, but it cracked me up so much the first time I watched it. It was the first time. So Rachel wants to find out who this new secret lover Monica has.
I don't care. I want to meet this guy who's the best sex she ever had.
Really? That's what you heard? You said that?
I might have said that. Why is that funny?
Because I'm very happy for him. And you lucky dog.
Something, and is the sex better than it was with Richard? And so what happens is that Rachel at first is like, no, you can't, you know, ask that, and Monica too. And then Rachel's like, no, but is he? And then she says yes, and then you have Chandler jump.
Dancing, doing the dancing. Oh, man.
A terrible dance.
You can't see me right now, but I'm totally doing it.
You're doing the dance. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a good moment. That is a good moment. I'm going to go ahead and do something we have not done before on the show, which is essentially read some of the screeners' favorite moments.
Oh, that's cool.
So we've got a screener, Joe underscore MWD. So I'm guessing that's Mawad. Joe says, Joey making the social worker think that she is the one who didn't call and broke his heart.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, that is a funny moment.
It's the one when Monica and Chandler want to adopt a kid, if I'm not mistaken. And she comes over to their house. Yeah, yeah.
We've got Elliot says, Phoebe, when she says the name of her ex is Noko Lulu Onch'a'a, I guess. Phoebe's exes are always some interesting characters. Yes. We've got Reem X Shahab says, Phoebe going, my eyes, my eyes.
When they catch Monica and Chandler.
Yep. When they catch Monica and Chandler. And then let's see. We've got Suma underscore Mustery saying Rachel and Joey's date. Oh, that's an interesting one, considering it's not very popular as far as a storyline. We've got, let's see, Amal Jafar saying we were on a break. Muhammad Mardini saying smelly cat. I mean, that's everybody's favorite. I love smelly cat. And then we've got one more here. Karam Al Masri saying, I can't believe I'm going to try to read this. Essentially, Phoebe singing along with Ross's freaking bagpiping.
You have to go on YouTube and just like Google the bloopers for that specific sequence.
The bloopers for that sequence are hilarious.
And if you watch them, they're actually laughing. No one is being able to be serious in the scene. That's the best they could do. And the actors are actually properly laughing. They're dying of
laughter. I have to say that we do have a few screeners here who basically said every single moment. One of them would have to be our good friend, Rita. She literally, in all caps, wrote every single moment. And we would have to agree. I mean, every single moment of Friends. I would have to say that. I mean, that was fun to read all those.
Definitely.
So next up is our favorite characters, which is probably a tough one. But if I had to force you to pick one.
It's very easy for me.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
I mean, it's literally written right now in front of me on Zoom. Like, so who would your favorite character be?
For me, it's Chandler. By far, he's my favorite character. Joey and Ross, I find to be in the male characters a bit too extreme.
Yes.
One is too much of a womanizer. One is just too geeky and nerdy, if you want. And then Rachel, Rachel being bossy a bit and spoiled and with fat ankles.
That's a good Easter egg. Well done.
Exactly. Chandler's sarcasm, Chandler's heart, Chandler's growth in the show, I think, is the most interesting one for me.
For sure. For sure.
He's someone who, you know, I kind of used to relate to. In high school, a lot of my friends used to call me Chandler.
That's fun.
That's why my name right in front of his Hattie Chandler Shalawi.
I think
he has some of the best lines on the show. I think.
Oh, he does.
He has the most, to me, the most heart in the show.
Any more heart?
Exactly. Oh my God.
Chandler Bang.
Can we like have a special, what do you call it? A special request thing, and just shout out to Janice and Gunther for being two awesome characters.
I was just gonna say we needed to have this contest on Instagram.
Honorable mentions
would be favorite minor characters on Friends, because that rarely is asked. I think mine would have to be Janice by far.
Yeah,
Janice for me is genius. It's genius. The character is just absolute genius.
Yeah. And like, I agree. And for me, Gunther is also a lot of fun. Gunther has very interesting lines with his being in love with Rachel. And
yeah.
And he's super, he's specific countries. Apparently he's very popular in London and in England. I don't know why. Once
That's
I was watching
so
the
weird.
Documentary and they ended like he's very popular in the UK.
Oh,
okay.
That's interesting.
Gunther.
All right. So my favorite character.
Who's your favorite character?
Can you take a guess?
Ross. I don't know.
No. I think that one, it's like, I feel like that one's too predictable for me for it to be that. But he is not my favorite character. My favorite character on Friends would have to be Phoebe Buffay.
Okay.
I think Phoebe's quirkiness, Phoebe's complete and utter insane wonder at life. You know, just her, I don't know, her like positive, just childlike spirit is for me absolutely adorable. I think Phoebe and I would be best friends if she was a real person.
Wallah. Really? Are you serious?
Yes, I am. I don't think Ross and I would get along. I think his geekiness and my geekiness might clash and the world might implode. I don't think it would work.
I agree with that.
All right. So,
like, I just want to say one thing. I just want to like sneak in one thing though. Because I think you're going to like talk about who our screeners love the most and whatnot.
Yes.
But I do want to say this thing that the show doesn't work without each and every single cast member.
Oh,
cast.
Absolutely. And I think
and proof is they tried that. They had a show called Joey, which lasted two seasons.
Absolutely.
And did not work. And Joey was at the time the most popular character. And that still did not work. Ross needs Monica, that needs Chandler, that needs Phoebe, that needs Rachel, that needs Joey. It does not work without, you know, the six of them.
Absolutely. And this is why it's called an ensemble cast. Like you can't have one without the other. I mean, they all work. It's kind of like a symbiotic relationship between all these characters. And I just used an SAT word and that was symbiotic.
Symbiotic, nice.
I feel like doing like a Sesame Street thing, like today's episode is brought to you by the word symbiotic.
No, but today's episode is brought to you by Speedy Comics.
Yes, today's episode is brought to you by Speedy Comics.
It's actually it is. Like, seriously, guys, go check them out. Speedy Comics and me on Instagram.
Oh my God. This is I think this is the best way we've ever given them a shout out. Oh, I'm dying.
They're our friends. I mean,
okay. All right. So I'm dying. Okay. Okay. On to the contest that we put on Instagram. Strangely enough, a lot of people voted, and I almost feel like a lot of people just went, we like all of them. So Rachel Green, 85% of people who voted for friend, as in we like her. And 15% voted unfriend.
So the question is just for our screeners who don't know what the thing was. Okay, so basically what we did is we put a picture of each character on Instagram and we asked people, would you friend or unfriend them?
Yeah, basically.
And the percentage of each vote. That's in a nutshell.
Yeah, so 85% for Rachel Green, 85% said friend, 15% said unfriend. For Monica Geller, 87% said friend, 13% said unfriend. I find that very interesting because Monica's not an easy character to like.
True. I would assume that Rachel would be more popular, but
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's small percentage.
Yep. Phoebe Buffay, 90% said friend, 10% said unfriend. Ross Geller, 76% said friend, 24% said unfriend.
Yeah, here's something I want to say about David Schwimmer. I don't think he gets enough credit. I think he's the best physical actor on the show with his mimes and his movements.
Yes.
And he is like in terms of character acting and doing these kind of things, I think he was the most interesting person to watch.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. He is very underrated on the show. Ross is not an easy character to play. So Chandler Bing gets a 93% friend, 7% unfriend.
Could he be more popular?
Could he be any more popular? And then Joey Tribbiani gets a 92% friend, 8% unfriend. So essentially, first place is Chandler, second place is Joey, third place is Phoebe, fourth place is Monica, fifth place is Rachel, sixth place is Ross. That's how it played out in the contest. Thank you for every single screener who joined in the fun. We want to do more stuff like this in the future. So this was a test run, and you basically proved that y'all are in for this. So thank you for that.
You're all our friends.
You're all our friends. All right, next up. Storylines that we enjoyed and storylines that we were critical of.
Okay.
So here's the funny thing. So one of our screeners basically said that her favorite moment was the Joey and Rachel date.
Yeah.
Unlike most people, I actually absolutely adore this storyline. I don't know what it is about the storyline, but I absolutely love every single second of it. I did a very recent...
Is it my favorite
storyline?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I would say that I absolutely love it. What is my favorite storyline? That's a fun one.
It's a pickle. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. What is my favorite storyline? You know what? Mike and Phoebe.
Oh my God, you're rich.
Oh, my parents are rich.
Yeah, so they gotta die someday. Hello.
Mom, Dad, this is Phoebe. Phoebe, these are my parents, Theodore and Bitsy.
Theodore, Bitsy. What a delight. It's so nice to finally meet you. And you. Your home is lovely.
Well, thank you. I'll give you a tour later. It's actually three floors.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I that's a pretty good
Mike,
one.
Mike and Phoebe, for me, that's my favorite storyline. I love that love story between them. I love everything that happens between them. I think Paul Rudd was amazing in this role. Yeah, Mike and Phoebe for me.
All right. For me, it's going to be a bit more, something I said earlier that I really like, but it's Monica and Chandler, how they came to be.
Yeah,
because it was not expected. It wasn't something anyone saw coming.
I'm getting married today!
Woo! Morning, Ross.
I'm getting married today!
Yeah, York!
Oh, woohoo!
You think you knew I was here?
They even negated it a few seasons before that when they were at the beach house and Chandler
was
telling Monica to date me. So they kind of threw us off completely. And when that happened, I had the biggest smile on my face. And, the evolution of their relationship and how they had each other's back and the proposal and how they got married. And, even after that, getting kids, I think their storyline from when they start, they hooked up till the end with the twins, I think is the, for me, is the most adorable and best storyline. It's a bit longer than others, but yeah.
Yep. I agree. So what storyline are you critical of?
It's not that I'm critical of. It's an episode, if you want. And it does deal with the storyline. It always bums me out, but it's the whole breakup episode when
Ross and Rachel
we were on a break. Yeah, for some reason, it puts me a bit down. It has this effect on me. And I feel, because the whole episode takes place, if you want, within the apartment, I feel very, very claustrophobic watching this episode, and specifically that the other four friends are stuck in the bedroom, and the whole outcome of it and the whole, it just gets to me. This storyline of Ross, were they on a break? Weren't they on a break? Did he cheat? Didn't cheat? It just pisses me off.
Okay. So I cheated a little bit because, but you and I were on a break. No, I'm just kidding. Because I took critical not necessarily in a negative way. So yeah. I was looking at what episodes of Friends, because I do love the show as a whole. So what episodes of Friends am I critical of in the sense of they, you know, it blew me out of the water, you know, like it was like, wow, I can't believe they pulled this off. What's funny, and this is why I love you and I love the fact that all these years ago, I decided to message you first, even though your name was last on the list of people that I wanted to talk to about the show.
You see, sometimes it serves you good being last.
Yeah. is because I picked the same moment that you just did.
No way.
But I think this episode is absolute genius because of the fact that it makes you feel claustrophobic, because of the fact that it was a very dramatic episode in what is supposed to be a sitcom, because of the fact that I thought every single one of the cast members was on point in this episode. I think Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer deliver some of their best acting on the show in that episode. It breaks me, it destroys me, but it serves its purpose. And it does that so well that I cannot but celebrate the achievement that is that episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying it's a bad episode, but it's an episode that gets to me, you know? It's an episode that makes me want to breathe and just want to go, even when I rewatch it and I know the outcome. Yeah, so there should be this kind of phenomenal reaction is when you watch a show or a movie again, you do know what's going to happen, but somewhere deep down inside, you wish that you're like, I don't know, by some miracle of magic that it doesn't, that something else happens. I don't know if this exists, if there's a theory around that.
But I'm not sure if there's a theory around it, but I can say that this is what proves a show or a movie's greatness is when a show or a movie is able to do this. Even though you know the outcome, you are still wishing that the outcome was different. You are still wishing that things were different. No. You are so emotionally engaged. It's amazing. It's amazing. Before we get to our recommendations, because we've babbled on and celebrated Friends for quite some time, I think this is going to be one of our longest episodes in a bit, right?
I guess so.
Had and I decided to do to play the game that the Friends play when they're betting on the apartment. Which is how well do we know each other? So we have five questions each that we're going to ask each other, and we're going to see how well Alan knows Hod and how well the solo to Alan's Chewbacca knows Alan. So that should be interesting. Are we betting on anything? I don't know. Are we going to do a bet?
We should bet.
What are we going to bet?
Not on switching apartments, though. That doesn't really work.
No.
But we could let's keep it, you know, civil, like lunch or dinner or something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the moment the movie theaters open again, the person who loses this has to buy the other one a movie ticket.
I'm in. I'm down for that.
All right. And then we have to prove it on social media.
We will definitely.
All right.
But I'm going to win, so... So get your Lebanese liras ready.
Oh, we'll see. Oh, we'll see about that, Mr. Chalon Lerbong.
It's the lightning round.
It's the lightning round. Okay, do I go first? You go first? Who goes first?
You go first.
All right, question number one. How old was I when my family and I first moved to the U.S.?
14.
So close, but no.
What's the answer?
I was 12.
So close.
But I was turning 13. So I figured I would have given it to you if you had said 13. I would have given it to you because I was turning 13. But 14 is just way off. That doesn't work.
It's all right. It's all right. You get 1 point then. All right. So mine is an easier question. What was my scout animal name?
Ooh, koala.
Exactly.
Yes, I got that one.
One point for Alan.
Okie dokie. All right, number two. What film terrified me to my core when I was a kid that I woke up the next day with a fever. You should know this.
We talked about it on the episode with Clint, I think.
Yes, we've spoken about this on the show, and I've spoken about this moment a bunch of times in public as well.
Well, I can't remember. I'm just gonna say something which is wrong. I'm gonna say poltergeist.
No, no.
I can't.
I'm gonna give you one more chance because I really want you to get this. But I'm gonna give you one more chance. Okay, no.
I don't remember.
But it is another film that starts with the letter J. That's for sure. It would have to be Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay. I did not remember that. No, not at all.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. All right, your turn.
Okay. Question number two. What three movie magazines do I get every month?
Empire.
Okay.
Total Film.
Yeah.
Shoot. No. Come on. I should know this. I have no idea.
Five.
Oh,
four,
no. Hollywood two, Reporter. I don't.
No, your time is up. It was Premiere.
Oh, shoot. Okay. All right.
And because I'm losing, I'm not giving you the point.
No, don't give me the point. I didn't get all three. It's totally fine. Okay. All right. The next one is an easy one. You should know this.
Yeah.
If I got to choose one world from a film to live in, which would it be?
Lord of the Rings.
There we go. Yes. Middle Earth.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
1-1, 2-1. What's this?
No,
it's 1-1.
It's 1-1. Yeah, it's 1-1. Your turn.
All right. This one is super easy. Who's my favorite Avenger?
It's not easy. That's very tricky because there's two of them that I know that you like.
Who's my favorite?
God damn it. Tony Stark.
Nope, it's Cap.
God damn, I was so... Oh, no, this is not fair. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, your turn.
Okay. All right. So, number four. Who is my favorite screenwriter?
Aaron Sorkin.
Yep, you're right. God damn it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the lead, baby.
You're in the lead, baby.
Okay, this one is super easy.
Okay.
This one is super easy. So what kind of car do I have?
Oh, it's a red BMW.
Exactly. Told you, this is an easy one.
Okay. So now we're still tied.
We're two-two.
Okay. Number five. Here we go. What film makes me cry to this day?
E.T.
No.
And there's so many movies that possibly do that to you. I don't know.
Yeah, but it still makes me cry to this day.
The Dead Poets.
Nope.
Again.
Nope. It would have to be The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Oh,
yeah, that was very specific. So if you had said The Lord of the Rings, I would not have given it to you. It had to be like the specific film.
Specific one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Last question. This is you win or we tie.
Okay.
So what is my favorite kind of alcohol?
Son of a fracking whiskey.
Yes.
I win.
I'm taking you up. I'm taking you to the movies, my friend.
Woo-hoo! I'm doing the Chandler dance.
Okay.
All right. Okay. As we bring this episode to a close, let's do a different kind of recommendation this time around. Let's recommend an episode from Friends that we want our fan base and our screeners to watch. What episode will you recommend, Mr. Solo?
As cliche as it's the very first episode, when
the pilot.
You get to see Rachel walking in the coffee house, the pilot, that whole episode is just, you know, perfect introduction. And it's a good way for you to kickstart watching Friends again and binge it.
Exactly. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. My episode would have to be, I believe it's in season 7. And it's called the one where they all turn 30. It's one of my absolute favorite episodes in the world. You've got Phoebe trying to do things off of her, to-do list or bucket list. You've got Joey crying.
We had a deal. Yeah,
your little harmonica is hammered, and that gets me every single time. And then the scene that kills me is when Phoebe rides the convertible that Ross buys, and he tries to get it out from between the cars, and it's hysterical. Then there's also that other moment where she's, you know, like she tries to break into the truck and she's like, Hollis! It kills me. I'm like laughing right now because I can't. That moment is so great. Anyway, that's the episode I would recommend. It's a great episode, and I think it also showcases all the friends in a very nice way. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right, guys. This was fun.
That was friendly.
Well done. So if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Script to Screen Official on Instagram and on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter _Script2Screen. You can also check out our website, www.scripttoscreenpod.com, for all the latest news about our show. We're growing it a little bit at a time. And I'm sure you guys have noticed that our Instagram page went through a serious spring cleaning. Thanks to the solo to my Chewbacca.
Anytime. My pleasure.
So if you want to follow me personally on Instagram, you can do so at Alan Mahana. And
you can follow me on hag.solo.
You want to throw in Speedy Comics?
Yeah. Yeah, you can, you know, our you know, like partners are sponsored Speedy Comics, Speedy Comics ME. Instagram.
Hod. Do the Speedy Comics thing again.
Okay. And also you can follow, you know, our partners, our sponsors, our buddies, our friends at Speedy Comics for Instagram on Speedy Comics ME. And you can check out their website, www.speedycomicsme.com. So check them out.
Exactly. You have to check them out because Speedy Comics Con is coming next month. And let me tell you, we can't tell you a lot, but let us tell you this. It is going to be epic. And we're a part of it, and it's going to be insane.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be fun. And they're going to be, you know, surprises left and right. So stay tuned for that. You have to stay tuned to find out what's going to happen. And it's in a month or so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So thank you guys for tuning in as usual. Hod, you are my friend for life, my friend.
You're my friend. And you forgot to tell people to listen to us on Spotify and on Rami.
Well,
and,
look at that. Know, look like, at that. I'm completely blanking.
Come on.
Yes,
come
you
on,
can you listen know, to us on all podcast platforms.
Subscribe.
And if you are in the Middle East, you can listen to us exclusively on...
And Rami.
There you go. Yes, you can listen to our show on all podcast platforms. Make sure you subscribe. You leave us some feedback on podchaser.com or on, on any other platforms that allow you to rate and give feedback on a podcast. Specifically, Apple iTunes does this most. So if you want to see us grow as a show, hey, I'm rhyming, grow as a show, make sure you comment and, give us some high ratings on Apple iTunes.
There you go. You're my friend. You're my buddy. You got a friend in me. And hey. So no one told you life was going to be this way, you know?
No. And okay, and they specifically didn't tell us that that's how the show was going to end today. Hey, make sure you tune in next week for a brand new episode of Script to Screen. We're going to be throwing surprises at you left and right. We're not going to be doing the show as we normally do. Like today's was a very topic focused. Next week might be news. You never know. So you got to tune in.
Yeah. See you all and have a great one.
All right, guys. Take care.